This podcast is brought to you by the Premier Surgical Office-Based Surgery Center on Paper Mill Drive in Knoxville. Excellent care designed for patient comfort and convenience.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcoatin Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong, better rates and better service. Take advantage of their Got Debt campaign where they can pay you up to $500 for your debt. Go to their website at atfcu.com. That's Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union. Touchdown Turnover is kind of like our true false, okay? We throw out a question and then each individual with a microphone shares why they don't believe the statement or they do believe the statement. So we'll make this one about Tennessee. We got Chris Lowe coming on, who spent some time with Trey Smith, who spent some time there, I want to say with Coach Pruitt, and looking forward to hearing what Chris Lowe has to say about his conversations there on campus. Touchdown or turnover that Trey Smith will play guard and tackle at some point during the 2018 season. He will play guard and tackle. We saw that from him in his freshman year. You look at where he is right now, looks like he's going to be at guard, but he can play tackle. He's a guy that can do it all. He can do both of them at a high level. But you got to play guys. You have a line. You have a group. And Trey Smith may be better at tackle, but you may have someone else that can only play tackle, but they can't play guard. And so you got to put guys in the best spot that benefits the entire group. Do you see Trey Smith at guard and tackle at some point during the season? Touchdown, turnover.
I say touchdown, and quite simple in getting to the point because we got to get to CeeLo. Is Trey Smith is your most talented offensive lineman, and you hit it on it right there for just a second in that Trey Smith may have to play guard because you're going to have a guy like what if maybe Drew Richmond isn't best suit for guard. Maybe he has to stay out at the tackle position. So I think because of that, Trey Smith does kind of go back and forth between guard and tackle. And the main reason I think Trey Smith gets some run at both is because in the SEC, you're bound to lose an offensive lineman at some point. And I think that Tennessee's depth is at the point where they're going to need Trey Smith to move around because he is your best offensive line and because he is so flexible at the positions he can play. So I do think that he plays multiple positions this year along the offensive line.
I'm going to say touchdown also. Tennessee, just looking at that offensive line roster, has enough dudes this season where Trey shouldn't have to play both. Shouldn't. That's like a big shining neon highlight of that word. Shouldn't. But, you know, the world's not a perfect place, and everything doesn't always go to plan, and I just think at some point during the season, he is going to have to play both positions as good as he is at guard. I mean, he's just a monster on the line in general, and he'll do perfectly well at both, but I think he does end up playing at both positions, even though, I mean, this season you have transfer Jameer Johnson, you have Brandon Kennedy coming in, you have a guy like Kayron Calver back, which you don't really know if he'll be a contributor, but he was out all last year with injury, so you really haven't seen him. Maybe he will be. You know, you have new additions like that, but at the same time, this offensive line is still a little scant, so I think ultimately he does play both.
Well, there's not a lot of people that knows more about what Trey Smith is going through right now. Chris Lowe got a chance to spend some time with Trey Smith and broke the news that he was officially cleared by doctors to participate this football season. We know that he still has medication that he can take, and there's still some slight limitations, but really good news nonetheless. And you can't spell Hollywood without The word low. You cannot spell it now. So we are joined by Mr. Hollywood himself. You will see him on your television all college football season because he's a go-to SEC analyst there. That is Chris Lowe, who so gracious with his time this morning. Chris, good morning.
Jason, I appreciate that. That introduction, my friend, and you know, I want to point out, you can't still win without swing.
That is correct. That is correct. I should have used that when I was younger, and the coach was like, "Hey, there's no I in team, but there's a swing. There's a winning swing. Let's get it.
That's
throw me the ball."
There's always a winning swing, no matter how you break it down. Good to be back with you this year, my friend.
Oh, yeah. And we will be joined by Chris Lowe every Wednesday. Now, Chris is busy now, so maybe we might have to flip a day or so. We haven't had to do that, I don't think, last season. But you can expect Chris Lowe to join us each and every week until he big times us and gets bigger and more famous. So who knows what's going to happen then. But Chris, you got a chance to hang out at the complex, spend some time with Trey Smith and Chris. Time here on the Swain event is sponsored by Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, and I can't wait to tell you a little bit about what they do after our interview. But Chris, how was your time with Trey Smith? I know he's excited to finally be cleared and get back on the football field.
You know, he is. He's relieved too, he's relieved that he's been given the clearance to play again, and relieved that he was just really scared, as any 18-year-old would be, when all this started back in February. He didn't know what was wrong with him. You know, he couldn't finish workout. He couldn't catch his breath when he walked across campus. He knew something was wrong. He'd been in great shape. He always finished his run. You know, something just didn't add up. And so finally, you know, when you know the doctors, Dr. Klink and everybody at UT were really good about running tests and running blood tests, and they did the scan, and then they found the clot. So while that was as you know, scary as imagine, at least he knew, and this is in his words what he told me, at least he knew what was wrong with it, you know, and Trey being an athlete and a football player, he's like, you know, at least now we can tackle it and go forward. And he met with a hematologist here in town, Dr. Hannah. He went up to Boston to meet with an international expert on clotting disorders, basically for a second opinion, you know, to make sure that his diagnosis and course for treatment was the same as Dr. Hannah's. He also did a cardiac workup at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. You know, his mom, he lost his mom, Dorsetta, at 51, 3 years ago, to congestive heart failure. So they wanted to make sure they checked all the boxes and covered all the bases. And the consensus was that he'd go on a six-month course of blood thinning medication, anticoagulants, I think is the way you say it, followed by baby aspirin. Now, he's still on the blood thinners, and I think the thing that the fans need to understand is he's not going to come off those until sometime during camp. Dr. Klink told me sometime before the first game. Now, whether that's mid-August, whether that's August 20th, August 25th, just whenever his complete six-month course of treatment is over. And it's at that time that he will be able to start having contact again. So until that, you won't see him out there in contact. Now, he's been doing everything up to this point. He's been conditioning, he's been lifting, he's been out there, everything, but he just hasn't been able to have contact. So that's where he is, and I thought Coach Pruitt yesterday when I talked with him was probably as realistic as anybody. He said, hey, let's not be unrealistic about expectations for Trey right off the bat. You know, he didn't go through spring. He's going to miss part of fall camp. He's only played 1 year of college football. Look at everything he's endured. So let's not judge him as a football player in game one. It's probably a fair assessment of where Trey Smith is as once we get to 4-5, game 4-5. And I would agree. I think that's right. But Trey can't wait to get back out there today. And I asked him, I said, man, Trey, he looked at me, shook his head, he said, you just, you know, you can't play football and get out there and hit somebody. I just can't wait to get out there and hit somebody. You're talking about a big man, 6'6", 335 pounds. That's the other thing. Initially, when he was going through all this stuff way back in February, he dropped a lot of weight. I think he lost like 12 or 13 pounds. But he's back to 335 now. It looks like a million dollars. So some people, when they go on the centers, And it's individualized. We'll lose weight. You know, he's right back at 335. He thinks he's stronger than he's ever been. Thinks he's even more explosive. And he's ready. His family's on board. He's such a tight-knit family. I had a chance to meet with his sister, Ashley, who works over there. Mm-hmm. He's a great gal. And the thing that runs through that family is their love for Tennessee. His dad, Henry. And I tell you what his dad told me, Jason. He says, you know, this has been tough on all of us. It's been scary. And losing my wife and losing their mom 3 years ago sort of brings it all back. You know, that's still raw, as you might expect. You know, I lost my mom 3 years ago, and I still think about her every day. He said, but what this has done is it's only made us tighter as a family, and it's made me realize, and again, this is Henry's best word, it's made me realize that Trey's exactly where he should be. He's at the right place, the right people. They're taking care of him. Nobody mentioned football, he said, until about 2 weeks ago. Nobody. He said it was all about Trey's life and well-being, this quality of life 10 years from now, 20 years from now. He said it was only about 2 weeks ago that they even started talking about football again. Coach Pruitt was right there for Trey all the way through, making sure he was okay. But Coach Pruitt was not involved in any of the consultations with doctors. That he left all that to the medical people. It was only about a couple of weeks ago that he was in the final meeting where they sat down with Trey and Henry and the doctors and said, okay, here's where you are. Here's where you are in your treatment. You know, so it was ultimately Trey and his dad's decision, you know, and they decided that after coming off the center that they wanted to give it another shot. So it's been a tough journey for him, but I think in his words, a rewarding journey. He's leaned hard on his faith and God. He's leaned on his family, and he's had a lot of support. He told me a great story. He said that he was working out, and I guess soon after they found out what was wrong with him, he was working out there in the facility. And he said Coach Fulmer came by and said, Trey, I just want to see how you are. You know, and sat there and talked to him. And he said, I want you to know we will send you anywhere in the world. We'll go anywhere in the world we have to get you with the right people, the right doctors, to make sure you have a good rest of your life and that you're healthy. Don't worry about football. All that matters is you. And he said, you know, Trey says, you know, that is the kind of thing when you're 18 years old, you're going through this, you're dealing with all these emotions, you're reassured that you're where you're supposed to be. And he said he's had that type of love and support from everybody he's encountered at Tennessee right on through. Teammates as well.
Now, Chris, you touched on it a little bit there and everything that you said, but Trey's doctor indicated to you that essentially there's always going to be a risk that these blood clots come back just perpetually. Did you sense any reluctance at all from Trey about that, about the fact that there's just always kind of this chance floating out there that he could have this problem?
No, he knows, and he's aware of that there's always that recurrent chance of blood clots returning. And that's whether you're on them, stay on the center, or you're not on them. There's probably less of a chance of one recurring if you stayed on the centers for the rest of your life. You know, but you don't want to be on those things unless you absolutely have to. And there's also a risk associated with it if you stay on the blood center. You know, it's more susceptible to bleeding. You know, if you were fall and had any kind of trauma, hit your head, in a car wreck, you know, on the center, you know, that's the last thing you want. So he understands that. And I think part of the reason they're going to put him on baby aspirin is that helps prevent a recurrence of blood clots coming back. So, he understands that. His dad does. That's been laid out for him. But he wants to play football again. And, again, this was a consensus decision reached by several doctors that it was okay for him to go back. Now, he'll be closely monitored. He's got to undergo another scan, again, before he goes back into contact, you know, to make sure there's nothing there. But he'll be closely monitored. They'll watch him. The thing that Trey, and Trey's a smart kid. You guys have talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that Dr. Klink told me, he says, you know, the clots in your lungs are the scary ones. Those are the ones that scare you to death because those are the deadly ones. And sometimes athletes, and Jason, you know this, you know, you don't want to tell anybody what's going on. You try to push through things. I think initially Trey tried to do that back in February. But he says, thankfully, Trey came to us and said, hey, this is what I'm feeling. this is what's going on. So they were able to get to this early. Imagine if he never would have said anything, kept trying to push through, and then got out there in spring practice. You know, I hate to think what might have happened, you know, or even all the way through spring practice. But he was honest enough to told Mary would treat this, because if this is something they would have found out, you know, in April or May, there's no way to play, had any chance to play football this year. And that was never the priority anyway. It was to making sure they got him the right treatment and he got well and healthy again. But no, they will watch him very closely. And I think he understands, Trey's smart enough to understand that he has, as his sister Ashley advised him, listen to his body, communicate with his doctor, tell the trainers, tell them what's going on as they go through this.
Chris Lowe here in the Swain event, brought to you by Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine on a Wednesday. Chris, you know, we talked about the medical side with Trey Smith. On the football side, I'm pretty sure Jordan Pruitt is very excited to now have a guy like Trey Smith there in the trenches, and you add Brandon Kennedy. Any discussions about how this offensive line will look now with the addition of Trey Smith, now he's been cleared?
Yeah, and Jeremy is excited to have a kid like that back, because he told me, Jeremy said, Chris said, kids look up to Trey. He's such a leader. The way he works, the way he goes about his business. And he said, I think it gives him confidence to know that he's going to be back out there. I don't think there's any question it gives him confidence. I mean, he's your best football player. I mean, I think he's the best offensive lineman in the league. Certainly if he's healthy. He says they've gone over a lot of different scenarios where they're going to play him. Where they are right now is they're going to leave him on the left side of the line there instead. So they're going to play him either left tackle or left guard, mm-hmm. and then sort of shuffle from there. And Brandon Kennedy will be their center, the kid that transferred in from Alabama. They're optimistic right now that Chance Hall is going to be back to be able to play, which is a huge plus. Now, he's got to stay healthy. He hasn't been able to stay healthy to this point.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably, you know, he would be a guard. The junior college kid they brought in, the tackle, I think will be the tackle. I tell you, the guy that was really impressive this spring, the guy they really liked, was the Carver kid.
Yep, Jerome.
He was about as good as anybody during spring ball. So, you know, if everybody stays healthy, and, you know, from having played the game, rarely does that happen in the offensive line, okay? But if everybody stays healthy, they got a chance to be really good. I think they got a chance to be one of the upper-level offensive lines in the SEC. Now, they're going to cross-train guys. Or they'll play Trey at tackle. They'll play him at guard. They'll do that with some other guys. You know, remember, he played every position last year but center.
Sure did.
But that's the plan going in, and they'll sort of go from there and see, you know, how much Trey can play early. You know, is he able to play? Is it, you know, Chance Hall? What's his availability? So all those, they'll answer all those questions as they get into camp. But it's a, put it this way, Jason, a lot better outlook right now in the offensive line than it was 3-4 months ago.
Yeah.
Chris, you're hitting there on the offensive line, but in talking to Coach Pruitt, what's your sense of how comfortable he is where his team is going into fall camp?
I think, again, you know, getting guys back, because the team we saw in the spring, he's hopeful won't be the team we see now, because you're going to get guys back. You know, Kirkland, you know, what's he going to be like? Jawan Jenny. I think Jawan has done everything that they've asked him to do. You know, he's been on track to get back and be a contributor, but he's still got that injury, you know, the knee injury, which I think it was a little bit of a setback. Not a setback, but he had to do the procedure a couple times. So how healthy is he to start the season? You know, we'll just have to find out. He's scared about the defensive line a little bit. You know what? But every coach is. You know, I mean, you never can have enough depth there. So that's an area where I think that they're just going to have to sort of fight and survive and get through this. They've got a chance to be outstanding at linebacker and feel good about the back end. So it's a team that they're going to have to continue to build depth and create depth. Young players are going to have to play. Quarterback position is one that, I mean, They just don't know. I mean, I would say Garantano is the odds on favorite to win the job. They like his ability, they like his talent. You know, he's got to do all the other things to prove to them that he can do all the things that the quarterback can do. You know, Chris was a guy they wanted because they had to have somebody else to come back in and have some competition and have a backup plan. Is he going to be the starter? You know, he's got a story still on the field that he can be that guy. He's not a great athlete. He doesn't have a great arm, but he's smart. He's played it. You know, he's played obviously at an elite level before. But I don't think when you look at quarterback right now at Tennessee and compare it to some of the other situations in the league, because this has a chance to be one of the better years for the SEC at quarterback, which is different than what we've seen in this league, because that's not been a very good position for the SEC over the years. But you look across the board now, all of a sudden, you know, Lockett, Missouri, the two kids at Georgia, the two kids at Alabama, certainly at South Carolina, Fitzgerald at Mississippi State, even the kid at Ole Miss. And I'm, of course, I haven't hit everybody, but this has a chance to be a deeper crop of quarterbacks than we've seen in the SEC. I think at Tennessee, you know, it's still yet to be determined who it's going to be and how they're going to play. But I think that right now is probably one of the biggest question marks of this team going into the season.
Chris Lowe here on the Swain event. Chris Lowe, SEC contributor there for ESPN. Chris, Jeremy Pruitt had his first experience at SEC Media Days. I thought he was night and day different as far as confidence and delivery and approach from other times he spoke to the media, especially his intro press conference. He looked very comfortable. Looked like he had practice on delivering you know, his statement on Tennessee and answering questions and stuff like that. His first test was, does he take the bait from Aaron Murray? Aaron Murray and David Pollack had some things to say about his time at Georgia. I got a feeling what Jeremy Pruitt wanted to say, but he didn't go there. He handled it very, very well. What's your opinion of Jeremy Pruitt from SEC Media Days?
No, I think he did well. And I think Jeremy, you're right. He was a little bit in that area. You know, he's not had to really do that before as a head coach. Any of us, you know, when you're not used to getting up there in public speaking, certainly at a gathering like that, you know, I mean, I can remember the first time I ever did that, you know, at booster club meetings, the quarterback clubs, or even being on TV for the first time. See, nobody's as big a TV star as you are, Jason. You know, you were born that way. But you have to get used to it. You know, you really do. So I thought he did fine. And here's the thing about Jeremy, okay? He really doesn't care you say or I say or Aaron Murray. He knows why he's here. He knows what he's got to do at Tennessee. And listen, we've all been guilty of being a fan of talking about a coach winning the press conference. Oh, Butch Jones is great. Derek Dooley. Remember Derek Dooley came here talking about where, you know, Johnny Major's pounding at desk and wearing those orange breeches. Lane Kiffin. It doesn't matter, ultimately. What matters is what you do on the field, how your teams play, how they improve, how they develop, how you recruit, how you develop those kids. Can you manage the overall program? Coach Former was a great manager of the program. You know that. You played for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can wear all the different hats that a head coach has to wear. I think Jeremy can evaluate talent. He knows what he's looking for. He's got a plan. All right. He will recruit. He's got a good recruiting staff around him. And I think he'll be good at coaching and developing players. You know, what's his game management going to be like during games? Well, we don't really know that yet because he's not been a head coach. How will he manage the program? How will he manage kids? How will he manage people in the periphery, the media, donors, boosters? He can be a little bit of a bullet kind of shot. I don't think that's any big secret. I find Jeremy refreshing. And I've known him for a while because having covered Alabama all these years, you know, I was down there a bunch and got to know him a little bit. He's like a lot of coaches. You know, you're going to have to win his trust. People are. But he's going to tell you what's on his mind. He's not going to be afraid to step on toes. And, you know, he's going to coach his football team. All this stuff on the periphery at the end of the day, you know, if you can't go out and make third and short, you can go out there and beat Georgia and beat Florida, beat Alabama some, and be in contention and win some SEC championship. Doesn't matter how charismatic you are in front of the camera. You know, it doesn't matter what you say or how you say it. You know, in this league, you're not going to be around very long.
Yeah, no. Hey, it is what it is. You know, you got to win games. He understands that and can't get caught up in things that don't really matter at the end of the day. Chris Lowe, ESPN. Chris, it's always a pleasure, my friend, to talk to you and pick your brain. And I'm pretty sure the good people listening really found a ton of value in your words today. So thank you so much. And dead end is on me next time. So let's schedule it for, you know, you know, sometime like in 2019. How about that? Me and you.
I tell you what, about the time that you finally invite me to your Hollywood Hills house.
Oh, man. Chris Lowe, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. See you guys. Bye-bye.
Now, if it's on Chris, we can go today.
Yeah.
We can go to lunch today. Now, if it's on me, yeah, I'm going to need some time. I'm going to need some time to get my money together. You know, my banking account, my checking account. You know, they ain't really communicating right now. So, that is from Kevin Hart.
You got to swipe the card on your jeans.
Yeah, I got to wipe it off. It's a little dirty.
And look, and if it's declined, don't tell everybody. Pull me to the side and tell me by myself.
Exactly. Don't put my business on the streets. Look, Kevin Hart for you this morning. Chris Lowe's time is brought to you by Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, where they specialize in regenerative, non-surgical orthopedics. So they treat damaged ligaments, tendons, joints, including rotator cuffs injuries, knee instability, elbow, foot problems, by injecting the injured area with stem cells, PRP. This form of treatment is performed under ultrasound guidance, so they can see exactly the area that's bothering you. And I am a living testimony. I had an ankle injury that bothered me for a while after my playing days, and we went in. We did some prolotherapy, and it was not reacting to the prolotherapy. But once we did the PRP, the platelet-rich plasma treatment, I was feeling good. My ankle feels great now, and it would not have if it was not for Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. So before you opt to get surgery, before you freak out, just go see Dr. Carlson and the Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine team. Cheryl, they do an unbelievable job, and they are the leader in this area, this space. The leader. There's doing it, and there's leading the entire movement here in Knoxville, and TRSM, they are the leader. So go to their website at What is that website again? Let me get that. TRSportsMedicine.com. I almost said Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine.com, but it is TRSportsMedicine.com. All right, we will be joined next by Savion Williams, who committed to Tennessee yesterday. Number one JUCO defensive tackle in the country. So stick around. Don't go anywhere. Swain Event will be right back.
Looking for a different way to enjoy the Swain Event? Then check out Swain Event TV, brought to you by Toyota Knoxville. Follow the show on Periscope and Facebook Live.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue has a new slew of daily specials. Enjoy a different special meal every day, like the Chipotle Chicken Salad, the Chicken Tender Sandwich, or the Kitchen Sink Burrito filled with brisket, pulled pork, and chicken, not to mention queso, jalapenos, and more. It's called the Kitchen Sink for a reason. Dead End isn't stopping at your plate, though. Be sure to check out their new summer drink offerings, including the Big Orange Crush, My Clementine, or the Tequila Squirt. There is always something new at Dead End Barbecue. Located off of Sutherland Avenue, Dead End Barbecue. The summer flavor search is over.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Insipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today. We're here with Dr. Mike Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, or instability, Achilles tendonitis, golfers, or tennis elbow, do what I did and give them a call.
Yeah, Jason, we specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So we treat damaged ligaments, tendons, and joints, including things like rotator cuff injuries, knee instability, elbow problems, as well as foot problems like plantar fasciitis, Achilles, things of that nature, by injecting with stem cells and what's called PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. And this form of treatment we do under ultrasound, so we know we have our target. And it also stimulates the body's own reparative process, and this allows for the healing of damaged tissue. And as you well know, I mean, numerous professional and collegiate athletes, guys like Steph Curry, Tiger Woods, and even yourself with your ankle injury, have been using this form of treatment for years. And so we offer that same type of treatment here in East Tennessee.
Visit them on the web at trsportsmedicine.com. Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, East Tennessee's leader in regenerative therapy.
Looking for a different way to enjoy the Swain event? Then check out Swain Event TV, brought to you by Toyota Knoxville. Follow the show on Periscope and Facebook Live.
Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, and I'm so excited to be joined by Tennessee defensive tackle commit Savion Williams, 6'4", 315 pounds, from Upper Marlboro, Maryland, Lackawanna Community College there in Stratton, Pennsylvania, made his announcement known yesterday, and he joins us here on the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. Savion, man, good morning.
How you doing, Mr. Swain?
I am great. First question, man, what is the official age on your birth certificate, man? I just need to know, man. I saw the pictures, Savion. I saw the pictures, man. I need some confirmation, man. What does it say on your birth certificate? How old are you, sir?
Born February 8th, 1998, so I'll be 20 years old.
Gotcha. So February 8th, you heard that, folks. If you want to tell happy birthday or whatever. All right. So Savion, I talked to you a little bit about this last night. You know, I've been checking out Last Chance U, and you kind of see how you have to really dig in deep and start to think about your reason why and identify your reason why, because it's not easy at all, man, playing at JUCO level and not having all the resources and sometimes feeling like, hey, I don't know if I want to play football or not, because it's so right. I mean, it's so difficult. The odds kind of stacked up against you. What is your reason why, man? Why are you playing this game, and what helped you push through all those times when it didn't seem like there was light at the end of the tunnel?
Mm-hmm. So I started playing football. I played a little bit of football in the eighth grade, and I didn't have the grades really to play ninth or tenth. Mm-hmm. So I reclassed in the tenth grade and played. I would say tenth grade was really my first serious year of football. And you know, ever since I started playing football, you know, I just started to fall in love with it, you know, and in high school, you know, I had a pretty good high school career. It's just, you know, I couldn't go where I wanted to. You know, I had a couple of Division I, AA offers coming out of high school, because, you know, my grades were pretty bad, you know, and the light didn't switch for me, you know, until about midway through senior year. You know, so it's okay though, because some people it takes longer than others. Everybody's not the same, but
right.
You know, I went to JUCO, and you know, I mean, it is what I expected it to be. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's definitely hard, you know, and it's, you know, and when I first started, you know, it was definitely something it took me a minute to get adjusted to, but. You know, stuff like, you know, the food sucks and you got to walk into the practice field every day in the scorching hot sun and stuff like that. You know, the dorms, you know, four or five people to the room. So, you know, it's like, you know, it's definitely the grind. It's definitely the struggle. And, you know, you really have JUCO is not for everybody, but, you know, you really to be in JUCO, you have to have. You know, you have to really love this game because, it's hard. So, yeah. You know, I'm just, you know, I love football that much that, you know, that, you know, I'm willing to do what I got to do to think to be where I think I deserve to be. And that's a Tennessee Vol.
That's right, man. I know you know that you still have a lot of work to do, and you still have goals that you want to achieve. But, man, being able to go from JUCO to a place like Tennessee, that is a huge accomplishment. So congratulations. And I'll tell you this, Savion, you don't have to worry about the food stinking anymore. you probably witnessed that over the weekend. There's going to be some good food around here for you. So, and we know we got to feed That's you good. Now. We got the truckloads of food ready for you because we got to feed you, man. We got to have you ready to go and beast these offensive lineman here in the SEC. We got to have you ready to go, man. So you have to worry about that at all. What was because your commitment kind of came out of nowhere, okay? Mm-hmm. So obviously you seen something you liked, you talked to people that you liked, you felt maybe very comfortable with going ahead and getting it done. Maybe you decided to put it off and, you know, want to wait until the end of the season or whatever, but you decided to do it just out of nowhere yesterday. Why did you decide to go ahead and get it over with?
It's just me and my mama on the way back from Tennessee, we were just talking to each other and thinking about stuff and what we thought about Tennessee. And, I really like what they got going on in Tennessee, you know, and I like the main reason I chose Tennessee is, you know, I get a genuine feel from them. I feel like, you know, like in other schools, you go to the Alabamas or the Georgias and stuff like that. You feel more like a statistic, you know what I'm saying? Like a guy, and that's another player. You know, I went to Tennessee, and, you know, I felt like, you know, they really care. They really going to care for me off and on the field. And nothing against Georgia, you know, because I took a visit there. So don't take, I had a great time at Georgia, but it's like Tennessee is, it just blew me away with their coaching staff. You know, I sat down and ate dinner with Coach Pruitt, and that's what hit me the most at first, you know, because, you know, it's not a lot of times where you get the head coach to just sit down with you of an SEC school and just talk to you and want to know about you, you know. So that was pretty big.
Savion, the competition in the SEC is obviously going to be a tad bit stronger than the community college circuit. What are your expectations coming in with in terms of competition here at Tennessee and the SEC?
I definitely know the SEC is the big boys, as people call it, you know, and definitely I know I got a challenge coming my way, but, you know, it ain't nothing that I've been faced before. I gotta keep working. I gotta keep getting stronger. I gotta keep getting faster. And that's, gotta be in my playbook a lot. You know, I know it's a whole different ball game up there in the SEC. So, it's all about me getting better, progressing as it go on.
Savion, we see a lot of defensive linemen take over football games. Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley, mm-hmm. Aaron Donald. Who do you model your game after?
That's funny because I kind of think that I'm kind of a Ndamukong Suh, you know, type of build. I mean, about 6'4", 308, you know, and then I just feel like, you know, I definitely play a lot like him, strong, tenacious, a lot of effort. I feel like definitely I look up to Ndamukong Suh, and I definitely want to be like him because, you know, me and him, I feel like we play similar. I play like him, and, you know, if I can kind of get the same reduction, that would be great.
Man, yeah, I remember Sue in Nebraska. He was nasty, mean,
yep.
And that's exactly what we need here in Tennessee. Just mean, not apologizing for slinging the quarterback to the sideline, making him hit the Gatorade cooler. I'm all for that, man. Let's get it on. So Savion, I'm watching your film, man, and I'm watching, you know, you in practice, and I mean, the poor offensive lineman. I mean, you just drove him back. He's on skates. I mean, how does he even make eye contact with you after you did him like that in practice? I mean, how does that work when you dominate someone that bad? Don't they feel uncomfortable around you for the next day or two?
Well, I mean, after I make a play, I kind of just go back to the huddle and focus on looking back at the next play. I really don't, I'll be interested to them, but I mean, I don't know how to, I don't know. I think I,
Hey, man, it's all right, man. Talk a little trash, man. It's all right,
yeah,
man. It's all right. I saw you drawing a little bit there on the film. Ain't nothing wrong with that. And I'll tell you this this next thing, Savion, is I know you were trying to be super gracious to Georgia because it's a very serious process. They wanted you. You felt more comfortable at Georgia. And they know it's no hard feelings. You just have to follow your heart. And I went through the same process. But don't worry, man. Vol Twitter got your back. So if you got some Georgia fans that want to come at you, just hey, just say Regulators, and then Tennessee fans, they have your back, man. Don't worry. We'll mount up for you, Savion. Don't even worry about that. We got your back. We'll fight your battles. You don't say anything. You just let us know. We'll take care of Georgia fan. All right.
Yes, sir. All right,
Savion, man. Thanks so much for your time today. We can't wait to see you here in Orange. And congratulations. I know it's been a long road, but my brother, you made it. And there's still more road to travel, still more goals to touch.
Yes, sir.
But congratulations on you committing to Tennessee, having opportunity to get a degree here from Tennessee and do something special for your family. So thanks so much for your time and congratulations, my friend.
Appreciate that. Go Vols.
That's right, man. Savion Williams. Number one JUCO defensive tackle here on the show from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. I will say that when I was younger, I used to travel up there. My dad lived up there, back in the day. So I actually still got family in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. How about that?
There are plenty of connections to people nationwide to Scranton, PA.
Really? What kind of connections?
A big love for that. That city.
Wow.
A lot of people know. Are you aware of Dwight Schrute, Michael Scott?
Oh, I know all about Dwight and Mike.
Any of those guys?
They're my boys.
Home of The Office, Scranton, PA, which is where Lackawanna Community College is, where he goes to school currently. Savion.
Lackawanna sounds like a Nickelodeon, like, camp. You know, like those shows?
Camp Lackawanna.
Yeah, like they had the camp, the shows.
Come and get slime.
It sounds like that, man.
You know what I really wonder? This is personal, too. Is he a Ravens fan?
Ooh.
I mean, he might be. The Ravens, they have a nasty, tough persona. I mean, he may be. I didn't ask him.
Well, you know who has a nastier persona? Right. And that's the Steelers defense.
Oh, my gosh.
Boo.
They used to, man. They used to. They don't have that on defense anymore.
Not exactly the Iron Curtain.
I'm sorry to let you know, man. It's not the same.
Charlie, let me know when you get to the Super Bowl and win one. Let me know
1999, baby.
When you have a 500 record swing.
Ooh.
Although I will say,
you got me.
Anthony Miller, he's been tearing it up.
Don't worry. We
in Chicago with your boy Mitch Trubisky.
Don't worry. We got something for you this year. Don't even worry. The Bears will do, I think, really well this year. You're right. I'll be quiet.
My team's. There may not be a team in sports over the last 5 years who has wasted more talent than my Pittsburgh Steelers. Best receiver in football, best running back in football, Hall of Fame quarterback. Talent along, I mean, the defense isn't what it has been, but they still have talent on the defense. One of the best offensive lines in football, and they haven't won anything of significance.
Hey, man.
Hey, I'll keep it real now.
Man, keep it real. Hey, keep it real. I mean, that is true. All of our teams, you know, y'all's team's a little bit better than mine, but hey, this is the year to make a step. Let's see if the Titans can make it. Let's see if the Steelers can finally beat the Patriots. It's going to be an interesting year. 865-255-03 for what is coming up next.
For what is coming up on the Swain Event.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. The next thing you know, you're being arrested for DUI. Be responsible, but remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call DUI and criminal defense attorney Marcos Garza. Put this number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty, say Garza. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
Gentlemen, get back in the game. Did you know that one out of every three men over 40 may have low testosterone? Low T levels can make you feel tired and grumpy. Do you know your numbers? Well, I know my numbers. Low T Center made it quick and easy. I walked in, I took a simple blood test, and I knew my result in about 20 minutes. Their service is even covered by most health insurance. So give them a call, 865-392-1388. That's 865-392-1388, or go to lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
Craving homemade flavors that don't take hours in the kitchen? Mrs. Grissom's cheese spreads and chicken salads are the perfect go-to. Ready-to-eat meals and snacks found in the meat or dairy section at the grocery store with flavors of home in every bite. Whether you crave the classic Mrs. Grissom's pimento cheese or the gold gluten-free select cranberry pecan chicken salad, enjoy the sweet taste of a home-cooked meal in every container. Select the best. Select Mrs. Grissom's.
Butch Jones replacing Philip Fulmer on the Jumbotron.
For what?
People getting drunk and stumbling into the wrong house.
For what?
Butch saying a chart told him to kick an extra point instead of going for two.
For what?
People who break the law while breaking the law.
For what?
It's time for what here in the Swain event. Our show is fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America, 865-255-03. All right, what we got, guys, for what?
As a New York Yankees fan, this for what?
You get it for what just for being a New York Yankees fan. I love it.
Shut up. I'm going to send – never mind. The New York Mets lost to the Washington Nationals – by a score of 25 to 4 last night. And it resulted in Jose Reyes, one of the worst players in baseball statistically this year, having to pitch. And normally, position players, you see that from time to time. You know, when you're either up by a lot or down by a lot, managers usually don't want to blow out a relief pitcher, use up a relief pitcher rather, and save him for the days to come. So they'll throw a position player out there. But normally, it's two, three batters they face. Jose Reyes did not pitch just one inning. He threw 48 pitches. A position player throwing 48 pitches, and he gave up six runs.
The Mets were created in, it looks like, 1958. And that was the worst loss in the history of the franchise.
The Nationals scored seven runs in the first inning, and then three runs for the next four innings, and then scored six runs in the eight innings. 25 runs on 26 hits. I mean, that's absurd. You don't see that kind of stat line in baseball. And the Mets have been awful this season. Awful, awful, awful. And they've had bad injury luck all season long. But to lose a game 25-4? This is like the Steelers losing like 79-3.
I mean, that's a monumental, like I said, the worst loss in 70 years in the history of the franchise. So, absolutely insane. And also, like, they were a team that coming into the season, people were like, well, maybe you might see something special from them this year.
It's not absurd for people to think that because they have Jacob deGrom, Noah Syndergaard, and Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
Three of the best pitchers in all of baseball. So you had a fantastic rotation. And then in the lineup, you had Yoenis Cespedes, one of the best power hitters in all of baseball. And you had some good young talent, Brandon Nimmo, Michael Conforto, whatever.
They're just trash.
Everybody's gotten hurt, literally.
Well, I got it for what out of where else, everybody? Say it with me. Florida. Here is your headline. Florida man wielding live alligator chases people in convenience store. And there's a video. So, Ben, just hit me. This is an interview with the man who chased people around in a convenience store with an alligator. Can you hit me with that one?
Fiction of that happening at all.
At all. This store sells some good liquor.
I drank a lot of it that night.
The viral video shows Robbie Stratton running through a convenience store with an alligator in his hands. He takes the animal in the beer fridge as well.
I don't even remember coming up here.
We asked Stratton where the alligator came from.
No clue. No clue. I literally came to the store and he was in the back of the truck. They tell me what I did was stupid and I'll be facing some charges here soon. And probably go to jail, probably not. We'll see.
He says he regrets his decision and he's been in contact with the FWC.
There you go. Might go to jail. Might not. I don't know. We'll see.
Since when did we start doing interviews? These dudes.
That was really, I mean, what a get for that news station, first of all.
The best part about that interview was no clue where it came from. I have no idea.
It was in the bed of my truck when I got here. I don't know.
I drank a lot of liquor that night.
This store got some good liquor. I drank a lot of it last night.
My goodness.
Doesn't remember a thing. Does not recall chasing folks around the convenience store with an alligator. And there is, past that video of his stupid interview, there's an actual video of his friend filming him in the store chasing people around with the alligator. So I mean, it's a whole audiovisual experience. That's for what I'll put it in. I'll put it in the show notes so folks can see it. It's a good one, but classic Florida stuff.
If I'm in a convenience store on vacation in Florida and somebody comes running at me with an alligator, the moment that alligator is no longer in their possession, they're catching some hands.
Absolutely.
Then I'm not even thinking twice.
Well, which
about it.
Which one, the alligator or the guy?
Well, the guy. Like I said, the moment he sets the alligator down, he's getting a 1-2.
I'm not going to be around for when he doesn't have an alligator because I'm running the 4-2 out of there. So I mean, you know, I'll have to catch you around. I'll have to catch you a different day without the alligator.
What if you're the store clerk?
Good point.
That's a good point, man. That's a good point. I don't really know what I would do.
I would stand on the counter, and then once the alligator was gone and that guy was still there, he'd catch a 1-2 punch.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do, man. I don't know if the guy would actually feel it because he just said he was drunk and he didn't even know how he got the alligator. So I don't think hitting him at that time would probably affect him much at all. So hour two is brought to you by Alumni Hall. Get game day ready. Now, there is ready, you know, getting ready for the game and – yeah, you got you got some Tennessee stuff on, and you know you're mentally ready for the game. But there is game day ready, and that's how you can be prepared there with Alumni Hall. 6 convenient locations in Tennessee. Knoxville has 3 locations. You got Paper Mill, you have the mall, and then Turkey Creek, and then you have locations around the state of Tennessee, right there, Murfreesboro. And surrounding areas. So 6 convenient locations around Tennessee. But don't worry, if you are outside of Tennessee and you want to shop at Alumni Hall and get game day ready, you can do that 24/7 at alumnihall.com. That is the website, alumnihall.com. Get game day ready. And that was a fun interview, man, with our man Savion there.
Well, I said that. Really showed that I think if he gets here and becomes a key contributor for this team, he's a guy that if I'm the PR team at Tennessee, I'm putting him out front. Specifically, his answer to my question where I asked, you know, what are you expecting coming into the stronger competition of the SEC, where he just said, you know, I got to step my game up. I got to become better. That's the key. Answers like that is exactly what they want to hear when you're talking with media. He was really good. I was thoroughly impressed. It was good stuff.
You know what I took away? He was born in 98.
And just I mean, purely days after Tennessee. Or I guess, no, Tennessee won in 99. Tennessee technically won that natty in 99.
You're right.
So about exactly a year before Tennessee won the national championship. So
about 11 months because national championship is in January.
January, yeah. It was so, like January 6th, 99, I think.
Golly.
Man, I feel old. Gosh.
Man.
Darn it.
Shut your mouth. Now, I bet not hear you ever say anything like that about how you feeling old. You still smell like Similac over there.
Smell like what?
Similac.
What is Similac?
Oh, see, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about he don't even know what Similac is. Get out of here.
How you spell that?
Oh, my goodness. 865-255-03, B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. What is Similac?
No, I did. I mean, what? There are times when I even, I guess, how different in age are we Swain, what are you, 8 years older than me, six?
I'm 34, man, so you do the math.
30, so you're 8 years older than me. But yeah, like I had a conversation with my wife's little cousin, he's 14, and I was like, oh, yeah, we were talking about 9/11 for some reason. Like, 9/11 came up, and I was talking about it.
Talk about my birthday.
And he was like, hey, there it is. But yeah, that's what we were talking about, Ben's birthday on 9. that was the most important thing that happened on 9/11. But we were talking about it, and he, you know, I said some stuff, and he was like, I wasn't born. I was like, oh, yeah, you were 4 years away from existence at that point. And yeah, there are still moments, even though we are not as advanced in age as yourself, Swain. I definitely have moments where I feel old.
I was looking at some high school pictures of me last night from junior and senior year. And at that time, I was 16, 17, almost 18 years old. And at that time, you just feel so old when you're 16 and 17. You feel grown. And looking back on it now that I'm just 22, I'm like, I was such a baby.
Even when I go back to campus at Tennessee now and I see the kids, you know, they're like freshmen coming in, I'm like, oh, man, they are children. They're little kids. I mean, I'm almost a decade older than them at this point. So,
Did you find out what Similac was, Ben?
Oh, yeah, the baby formula.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby formula.
Why would I know what that is? I don't have any kids.
Oh, my goodness. 865-255-03. Anita, come get your boy. Anita, come get your boy. That is Ben's mother's
Look,
first name.
Right. I have been sucking up to my parents all week long because I have to turn my rental car in tomorrow, which means that I should be getting my new car over the weekend. And I've been trying to butter them up.
Yeah, you're trying to get a Charger, man. You're trying to look like an Alabama commit riding around here, ain't you?
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to fit in with Jeremy Pruitt.
I mean, hey. Do what you got to do, man. Just give me a ride.
I got you.
Yeah, man. Give me a ride. I'm tired of driving around. 865-255-03. Hour 3 is around the corner. Stick with us here. Swain Event, 850 AM, 100.9 FM, Rocky Top Sports. Be right back.